Today's program was brought to you by MTC Kitchen, Mutual Trading Company's online store.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host Akiko Katayama, a food writer and director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deep understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from our studio at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli and supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen in izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I will try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And my guest today is Yuji Haraguchi, who is the chef owner of Yuji Ramen and the Japanese breakfast restaurant Okonomi in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Yuji came to the studio a while ago and talked about his fish ramen as well as his fish-themed Japanese breakfast at Okonomi. So today we'll explore Japanese fish culture even further and talk about the new fishmonger, which Yuji is hoping to open sometime soon. Hello, Yuji. Welcome back to Japanese.
Thanks for having me.
Great. So for our listeners who missed the episode 2 of this program, what is your background? When and why did you come to the U.S.?
So my background is seafood. So I started in Boston sourcing fresh fish from the boat and supplied to the restaurant. And also I imported a lot of quality fish from the Japanese fish market, Tsukiji.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's the true world. It's like a Japanese fish importer and distributor.
Yes.
Right. And then I got to know you when you were doing demonstration at food events, chef's events, and yeah. I was very impressed how passionate you were about the fish. So so how did you become a restaurateur?
So Okonomi is almost 2 years old. Yeah. And then I started a pop-up 2 years before, so as my own business, it's 4 years, but as a restaurant, it's 2 years.
Mm-hmm. So first of all, you became a ramen chef. That was March 2013. It was the Whole Foods Market Bari. You had Yuji Ramen, mm-hmm. but before you had a pop-up,
yeah,
right? And then May 2014, you opened Okonomi, mm-hmm. which is during the day, breakfast and lunch, you serve Japanese-style breakfast. Mm-hmm. And at night, it turned to be Yuji Ramen.
Yes.
Right? Okay, perfect. So, and by the way, both the Okonomi is in Williamsburg. So what is the concept of Yuji Ramen? Why did you start it?
So ramen was not my favorite food to eat growing up, but I just saw the huge opportunity of this ramen trend growing in the United States, and also the combination of underutilized local fish that I was able to source.
Mm.
So I thought that that would be an amazing product if I combine those underutilized domestic seafood combination with ramen. Mm-hmm. So it was just a way to challenge the potential of the domestic seafood.
Mm, interesting, because ramen has been popular for the last 10 years mm-hmm. or so, and then usually it's pork or meaty
yeah,
toppings.
It's heavy on meat, yes.
Right, so mm-hmm. you, because of your background as a fishmonger, mm-hmm. fish distributor and importer, you knew ramen could be great with fish.
Yeah, like a lot more interesting, yeah, mm-hmm. and then more creative. Yeah.
Okay. And what kind of fish ramen do you serve at the
So one of the newest ramen that we serve at Yuji Ramen is called tuna kotsu. It is very similar to tonkotsu, which is a pork-based broth. Mm-hmm. It's very creamy, very thick, silky, sort of coats your mouth. And so we were able to create a similar type of broth only with the tuna bones.
Mm.
So we call it tuna kotsu instead of tonkotsu.
Right.
Yeah, it's 100% pescatarian tonkotsu style broth, mm. but just made with only tuna.
Right. And the kotsu means bones, so it's really fully
flavored
with tuna bones. And yes. I had it. I was so happy with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I had it twice already. And anything else? Like, I think one thing That's a shabu-shabu shio ramen?
Yes, shabu-shabu shio ramen is very popular. We slice white fish very thin and then ask customers to dip the sashimi into the hot broth and then lightly cook the fish and enjoy with the noodle, just the same way you enjoy the shabu-shabu hot pot.
Right. Mm. But nobody applied that cooking method to ramen before, so that's your original.
Yeah, original thing, yeah.
Right. Amazing. Mm. And so what about the okonomi, the concept of okonomi?
Concept of okonomi is the local Japanese breakfast, but focus on the seasonal domestic vegetables and seafood. Mm-hmm. So there is no menu. You just come in and then we just serve the fish roasted based on what was available in the morning.
Mm,
okay. So customer coming, just choose the fish. Mm. Yeah, very simple.
So it's a very traditional style, like even my grandparents' generation's traditional, healthy Japanese.
Yeah, it's more the idea of a balanced meal. So you have a combination of starch, rice, soup, protein, and vegetable. Mm-hmm. So the important idea is you start the day with a balanced diet.
Mm. Okay. And then you cook, usually you have three styles, right? The shioyaki, salt roasted, mm-hmm. and saikyo miso, it's a sweet miso coated, mm-hmm. and the sake kasu, with sake leaves.
Yeah, and also kobujime. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, so the diversity, it's very simple versus mm-hmm. fish yep. you have from the market in the morning
yep.
and serve it.
Yeah, so we just come up with a way to season or marinate based on the condition in the morning.
Mm, okay. And what is the reaction of customers to Japanese style breakfast that you serve at Okonomi? Because not many people eat fish for breakfast in this country.
Mm, yeah. So interesting about New York City is that we have so many people from all over the world. And then a lot of customers in New York City have been to Japan many times and have good memories of eating Japanese breakfast in Japan. So when I talk about Japanese breakfast to our customers, they already understand what it is. And then they were just hoping to have something like this in the United States. So I was very happy to know that I'm providing something that's missing and something that people have been hoping to have in New York City.
Right. It's interesting because even for most of Japanese people living in Japan, they don't have breakfast restaurants, not so many.
Yeah,
of them.
Like I was hoping to like find something like that in Japan when I was in Japan last year, but actually it was really hard. And then it's actually something that you eat home.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And unless you stay at an expensive hotel, you don't have
part
it.
Of the hotel. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And the other day I was at Okonomi and having breakfast, and then I looked up, looked around, and then the whole room was filled with non-Japanese hipsters, and using chopsticks like very skillfully and having good conversations as if they are like in pizza place. So I was so glad that that quintessential Japanese breakfast so well accepted in this country. Fish is the backbone of your business, right, throughout. Mm-hmm. And why do you think it's important to serve fish or eat fish for your customers?
I think it's just so important to have a balanced diet, but balanced nutrition for your everyday meal. And I just always thought that the way you could have fish for your diet was a lot of times with the sushi. And then you go to restaurants and then you have like 5-6 entrees and then you just see only one or two fish options. And then I thought that and at the same time, especially New York City is right next to the Atlantic Ocean. There are so many amazing seafood available, but people don't have that opportunity to include more seafood into their daily diet.
Mm. Interesting. So if you go to Japan and then go to any supermarket, there's a huge section of really fresh, not fishy, like oceanic scent of fish all over them. And it's so easy, it's so accessible in Japan.
Yeah,
fish,
but my view was it's as accessible in New York. Mm. Yeah, they just don't have that place to provide such opportunity.
Mm. Okay. And what is, you mentioned it's balanced diet, but what is the health benefit of eating fish?
So I think there are a lot of different types of meat. And then I do not have a very strong view on which fish has more nutrition, but I think it's just always important to have balanced diet, meat versus fish, and also the fish itself as well. Like you shouldn't just have one type of fish for every day. Mm. You have a tile fish today, you have a Spanish mackerel tomorrow, you have a porgy the day after. Mm. I think it's just very important to have variety of protein and also variety within that protein, whether it's a meat or whether it's a fish.
Mm. Okay. I just remembered one of my friends who's a sushi chef, and he cooks in America, and he was so mad because certain customers just order tuna, and it's not balanced. Mm-hmm. And also the supply is limited, so there's no mindset of sharing in the community of precious fish. Mm-hmm. So it kind of implies it's important to have balanced consumption of fish. And so the fish, I was looking at some numbers. So I mean, basically, the fish is good because there is omega-3 fatty acids. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there are two types of omega-3 fatty acids in fish, like EPA, typically in sardine, and DHA in mackerel, like really umami-rich fish. And also good, full of vitamin D. Mm-hmm. And a low in, of course, as of omega-3, omega-6 fatty acids, that's low in those fish. And also, there is a number, 2009 figure per consumption, per country consumption of fish. So Japan was 120 pounds per year per person, and U.S. it's 52 pounds per year per person. So Japanese people eat more than double. Mm. And I was looking at the life expectancy number, which is 2013 data. So Japan, male, it's average 84, the male 80, female 87 years old, and U.S. 79 years old average, and male 76, and female 81. And there's a correlation between the consumption of fish and the life expectancy. So Japan, Iceland, Norway, Spain, all they have longer life expectancy, and they are top consumption of fish. So we should eat fish.
If fish live longer.
Right, that's basically the way. So now you're planning to open a fishmonger in New York City, and you're currently running a Kickstarter campaign. So why would you like to open a retail store to sell seafood?
So I think when I was thinking about this huge potential of a domestic underutilized seafood, I thought that it is first very important to make people realize and aware that those fish taste good. Mm-hmm. So someone had to cook, prepare those fish in a way that people would feel comfortable and people would feel familiar with and people would taste good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why I started Yuji Ramen. So using ramen as a vessel to convey those underutilized seafood in a very delicious way. Mm. And then open okonomi. So serving fish in the form of ramen has a limit, but having roasted fish available opens up more more opportunity for more fish.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. So those were the...
I have a question. Mm. So when you were working at the fish distributor, did you get frustrated because there's so many different kinds of fish with Japanese company, right?
Yeah.
And then I know you sold fish to many American restaurants. So did they tend to order the same kind of fish, or how was the... Because you found your mission. You have to educate people to eat more fish. Right.
So like what was amazing was that first I focused on importing fish from a Tsukiji market to fine dining restaurants, and they really appreciated the quality and how it comes in, the way we handle, the way we deliver. But at the same time, those fish, it takes longer to arrive to a restaurant compared to from when they were caught.
Right.
However, they come in a better better condition than the domestic fish, which was much closer to the customers.
Right.
So, but when you see the fish right off the boat, the condition of the fish is just as good as the one that you see in a Tsukiji fish market. Mm-hmm. But the quality change happens by the people who handle it. Mm-hmm. So that was the biggest challenge and obstacle that I wanted to sort of fix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So look at fish that people catch in the United States are as good as fresh as the fish you see in Japan. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a huge misunderstanding. The fish in Japan better than the one in the U.S. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's as true. They're as good. The one that makes the difference is the people who handle it and the mm-hmm. chef who cooks it.
Mm, okay, right. So actually, I have Mr. Katsutokuga, he's a friend of mine. He's an experienced fishmonger at the Nishimaru, USA, which sells fish to great restaurants like yours as well as like Sushi Nakazawa, and said the distribution system of fish in this country is very different from that in Japan. For instance, American distributors use 50-pound fish container filled with lots of ice. And as a result, fish in the bottom is almost always damaged.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, in Japan, each fish is packed in a separate container that fits the size of the fish. So, you know, it's a huge difference.
Yeah, it's just more the respect. And then people treat each fish as one living thing.
Right.
Whereas people catch a lot of fish in the net, so you don't see individual fish within the net. I think
right.
that's a very big difference. The more people in Japan catch fish with a hand line, where the more fish, more fishermen in the U.S. catch fish with a net, because it's more effective.
Right.
Yeah.
More efficient.
Efficient, yeah.
Right. Mm. Okay. So what kind of ideas do you have to conquer the challenge in distribution
right.
system?
So it is really hard to challenge the distribution system because the way it's been done and then the history.
Mm-hmm.
But I have realized that there has to be a change from the both sides, from the consumer side and also the distributor, the fisherman side. But I was in between as a distributor. And then with thinking about myself, I just thought that I could make much bigger influences from the restaurant side. So the way the fish is cleaned, handled, portioned, stored in a restaurant is a lot different from the way it is done in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But I can do that. I can make the changes because I just do it and educate my staff to apply the same method.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wanted to. My vision is to sort of start from the bottom up, like create the demand for the higher quality fish from the distribution side, while we're trying to do our best to cut fish, clean the fish. So there are a lot of quality improvement that we can do without changing the distribution as it is from at the restaurant side. So I'm just trying to focus on what you can do in a restaurant after you receive the fish in order to sort of maximize its quality and keep the freshness. So like my vision for Osakana is the name of my fish store is we're going to have a really nice fish retail shop together with the fish education classes for those customers who want to learn about cooking fish at home or cutting fish at home, or those young passionate cooks who don't have much opportunity to learn about fish butchering in a very traditional Japanese way. So I'm very excited to make that kind of a small impact from the restaurant, the retail consumer side.
Right. Okay. So that means the consumers really can find, oh, wow, this is possible. This kind of quality is possible in this country. And also, do you think you can affect, distributor
exactly.
side eventually?
Yeah. So like if consumers see more value, if consumers start seeing the respect into the fish, I think, distribution side and the fisherman side will sort of see that happening, and then they're gonna try to do what they can do best on their side. So if the both sides, consumer side and then the distribution side, do their best, I think the whole thing would change much faster.
Fantastic, because I understand that some chefs in New York prefer getting fish from Tsukiji because of the quality, even if it's more pricey. So if that happens, if the quality fish can be available, fish suppliers can find you can sell at a higher price.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
yeah,
going to be...
exactly. It's very interesting because like even in Japan, there were some fish who were that were not used for sushi before, such as kimedai or akamutsu, which are the bottom water fish, but it's very oily. So those fish were caught in the net a long time ago, but a lot of high-end sushi restaurants started asking those fish for sushi quality. So the fishermen changed their fishing method to use hand line for those fish.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's why you go to a sushi restaurant, you order kimedai and akamutsu. It's very, very pricey.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's caught, usually caught with a hand line.
Right.
Yeah, and it's deep water. So it's a lot of work to catch deep water fish with a line hand line.
Mm. But it's worth it.
It's, well, then, yeah, but the important thing is you keep the quality. Yeah.
Right. And I think in this program, a couple of times I mentioned ikejime, which is the technique to maintain fish freshness.
Right.
By, you know, executed by fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard some fishermen started to learn the technique because the fish went through ikejime, sells at much higher price.
So, yeah, I think the important thing is to for the consumers to let the fishermen know that the people are willing to pay higher prices for the quality caught fish.
Mm. Okay, so you said that it's going to be Osakana. That's the name of the new fishmonger.
Yes.
So what's the meaning of it?
So Sakana means fish, and then adding O, meaning that it just means honor your fish.
Mm. Mm. Respect and honor.
Respect your fish. That's what Osakana means.
Mm. So it's you're responsible for the life of fish, and you cook it well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So people need to. So there, when it comes to the fish market in the United States, the fish is over displayed.
Mm.
So the people are not gonna look at each fish as an individual.
Mm.
So we're gonna try to focus on individual fish.
Mm.
So we're gonna sell fish one at a time.
Okay. Right. And here is a quote from your Kickstarter statement. So while New York has witnessed flourishing of artisanal butcher shops, the number of local fish purveyors has diminished despite the city's proximity to the Atlantic Ocean. Our aim is to help diversify the local food economy and revive the city's connection with its neighboring ocean.
Mm.
So it's kind of like food chain, and you try to go back to the natural food supply system.
Yeah, I think the important thing is balanced, like I keep saying balanced, but balanced seafood consumption will definitely help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then respect for individual fish, use the whole fish, clean it well, scaling it well, sharpen your knife. That kind of respect and manners have to be in place before people even talk about what is okay to catch, what is not okay to catch.
Mm.
Because if you have that respect for any kind of fish, you catch those fish less because you utilize the entire fish.
Mm.
If you go to a seafood market, a lot of fish, for example, farmers market too, those fish are all caught in a boat and then they go to a processing factory and they fillet everything, skin off everything, and they just sell the fillet in a bucket at the farmers market.
Right.
And then you start, you're not going to see what's being thrown away before you see the fillet.
Mm.
You can take so much flavor, you can feed so many people with what's already being thrown away, but it is not trash. If as a whole people separate fish and they decide what is not trash, what is trash, so that's the sort of a mentality that I want to sort of challenge by showcasing whole fish. We're gonna break it apart, we're gonna sell it individually. We educate customer what they can do. If they're not comfortable, we're gonna provide a class so they can come and learn.
It's interesting because I the other day I was speaking to one of the chefs who can butcher, and he prefers to butcher and train his whole cooks because it turns out if you have whole butchering in at the restaurant, there's much less waste because they respect, they realize
it
comes from
you see the face, you have to do something with it.
Right.
If you don't see face, you don't gonna care.
Right.
And the consumers are actually paying for those trash. And
that's
those
true.
Yeah, those weight are already on top of the meat that you're paying.
Mm-hmm.
So you're paying for the entire fish, but you're not getting the entire fish.
Right. Also, that garbagey part, mm-hmm. like tail and head, that gives the most umami.
So yeah, it's a lot of flavor. Like the tail part has a lot of muscle, right. because that's where the muscle all come together. So it has more flavor. And you just have to know what's the most efficient way to portion the fish from the whole fish, and also what else you can do. We make broth, we marinate it, we make sashimi. There are so many different applications you can do with whole fish.
Mm. Okay, that's wonderful. All right, so let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about how Yuji wants to create a community space at Doko Sakana. So please stay with us.
Mutual Trading Kitchen is run by New York Mutual Trading, a premier specialist for wholesale Japanese food and restaurant supplies since 1926. They're a one-stop shop for all your Japanese culinary needs. They have a range of quality Japanese knives, sharpening stones, kitchenware, tableware, and shelf-stable food, and are conveniently located in Midtown Manhattan near Grand Central Station. Although they specialize in wholesale distribution, this venue is open to the public, and they showcase artisan tableware that is only available in the showroom. Check out their website at mtckitchen.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats, broadcasting live from our studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host Akiko Katayama, and my guest today is Yuji Haraguchi, who is the chef owner of Yuji Ramen and a Japanese breakfast restaurant Okonomi in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. So, you mentioned a diversity of fish offerings at your new fishmonger, Osakana. So, and there's a study that global fish supply will run out by 2030 if you keep eating fish at this increasingly fast pace, and we'll have to rely on farm fish. So, I heard that globally, about 85% of fish stocks are said to be fully exploited, overexploited, depleted, or slowly recovering. So, could you tell us the issue of diversity in fish consumption?
So, diversity in the fish consumption, I think it is just your willingness mm-hmm. to try something that you haven't seen, mm-hmm. something.
Right.
Yeah, because like people are eating some particular type of fish and too much, so that the balance in mm-hmm. ecology is crushed. So as long as people keep the diversity in the consumption, and also as. And the important thing is you utilize more. Mm. If you are just eating the meat, if you're not utilizing the rest of the part, like in average, 30% or 40% of the entire fish is being thrown away, which is the guts, bones, and the head. But you can do a lot more with that part.
Mm. Right. And if you go to a typical restaurant in New York City, you almost always find salmon fillet mm-hmm. and nothing else. Like, what else? Which right. other part?
And then the consumers are expecting to see the fish too coming in the exactly same shape. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that restaurant needs to challenge. People say, I don't want to have a bone in my fish. But the fish come with a bone, and it tastes better if it's cooked with a bone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then that limits the trimming of the fish. If you don't mind just to break through the bones and then just eat the meat out of the bone, just like people do with the ribeye, yeah, it just so much tastes better because that's where the fat is. So the diversity is not always about eating all different kinds of fish, but also eating all different parts of the fish, your willingness to do extra work.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Right. So that reminds me of, Dan Barber at Stone Barns, a Blue Hill restaurant in West Village. He served a wasted dinner for 21 days, and every night he served usually wasted ingredients, beautifully cooked. Right. So that's the same idea. And so do you have any examples of fish that you that is local and under-consumed and, you know, tasty?
So there are a lot of fish that I can name. Yeah. So one of them is bluefish. Mm. Bluefish is known as sports fishing, and then you don't see that so much in a restaurant or at the seafood market. It is because a bluefish has a really high blood content in the body, which is really good for the flavor, but you have to process and then eat it right away.
Mm.
And then also another thing is the porgy. Porgy is a type of red snapper. Mm. In Japanese, it's called tai, madai. It is really, really delicious fish. However, it's a lot of work to clean. They have a really, really strong scale and a lot of bones. So I don't see that porgy being served as much. But the domestic local Long Island porgy are very, very fresh and also very oily.
Mm.
So at my restaurant, I serve porgy a lot. And then those two fish, I would say, are the very typical, underutilized, but delicious. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, local
yeah.
fish.
Whenever I find bluefish at your restaurant, I tend to order it because it's full of omega-3, like rich,
yeah, it's like
beautiful oil.
Like a mackerel,
right.
The similar type of meat.
Yeah, so, and it's like a flaked texture, right? Okay, and so the one of the biggest differences between Osaka and other fishmongers, including Japan, you have the idea of offering a community space,
right,
that you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of plans do you have?
Yeah, so the community place aspect is represented in offering different types of classes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to, I think important thing is to sort of like create classes based on people's comfort levels.
Mm-hmm. I mean, cooking classes.
Cooking classes, yes.
And knife classes, too?
Yeah, so knife is a very important part of cooking. And then, so I'm going to start with the importance of selecting the right kinds of knife and how to maintain it. And then I'm going to make it in a way so that it's easier to do at home. But if you want to do it in a professional way, we're going to also provide another class for more professional preparation.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want people to think that it's going to be too difficult, but I'm going to make it available for any levels of cooking experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that if you come in and tell us, this is what I want to learn, so we're going to provide the class based on that specific type of...
Say, for instance, if I open the door of Osakana, and then, oh, wow, I've never seen this fish, so I can ask questions, what kind of fish, what kind of taste, that's like education number one, and then how can I cut it, and how can I cook it, so
right.
That's another extension of the actual classes.
Yeah, so like the classes, like, you know, our service will be by the chef who are being trained at Okonomi right now. So they are very knowledgeable about the way the fish is cut, how it is, and also we can also recommend to customers what they can do with that particular type of fish. That's already education through a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're going to always get that experience without taking the classes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to go deeper, we'll have it available for you too.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Including the knife lab classes.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm curious how you procure the fresh fish. Like you have Nishimaru company.
Yeah.
And usually it's exclusively local fish.
Yeah. So I'll say like 90% or more East Coast American water wild fish, and then delivered by truck. So that's like one thing that I realized working at the fish company, whereas people pay so much money on the transportation.
Mm.
Yeah. So if we focus on domestic fish delivered by truck, customer save money.
Mm.
And then that opens up more windows for customers.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds great. And so According to the Kickstarter page, you may be able to open a ramen bar within Osaka. What is the idea?
So, like I have explained, the bones and the head are 20%, 30%, maybe sometimes more weight of the whole fish. Mm-hmm. So the best way to utilize those parts are making a stock.
Which dashi, already,
dashi,
stock,
yes. Right. Yeah, which always do at economy. Mm-hmm. So as much bones, head we get from the fish we serve to customers at the retail shop, we're going to make a broth and then we're going to serve it in the back of the fish retail shop.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So that customer get whole advantage.
Mm. So it's going to be a 6-seat ramen bar and you can just go in and enjoy.
Yeah, right? Yeah, like
anytime. Basically.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, you may be able to open a fish omakase restaurant within Osaka if you get enough funding.
Yeah, that will be a challenge. But I'm going to, you know, first focus on the fish retail and okay. education. Mm-hmm. And then if we have enough funds, we could make a seating area and then the dinner service as well.
Right. Yeah. I like the description. So we can fully build out a kitchen and acquire a liquor license. Our dream is to create a space for omakase dinners that will pair exciting preparation of seafood and sashimi with assorted Japanese whiskeys. I hope it's going to happen.
Just like whiskeys. Right. It's like a dream, but you know, it doesn't have to happen right away.
Well,
yeah.
Dream big.
Yeah,
dream it's going to happen if you do. Okay, so when is the timeline? What's your timeline?
So yeah, so my Kickstarter campaign Osaka Nan is happening right now. We have about 24 days left until the end of March. And then I have a really, really kind, a nice landlord waiting for our campaign to succeed. And then if this one goes well, we're going to start the construction in April, which is going to be about 2 months or so. And then hopefully by mid-June or late June, we can have this retail shop available for you.
Okay, so when it's going to be the exact location?
Location is on Graham and then Powers. Yeah, it's
so
right next to the Action Burger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, and it's you know, the Williamsburg L train, Bedford Avenue, and next one Lorimer. The third one is Graham Avenue.
Yep.
So it's going to be a couple minutes away from.
Yeah. And it's also close to our good friend of Meat Hook. Shop that they opened recently. Mm-hmm. It's like 4-5 blocks away, so you can have a nice meat. You can have a nice fish. On the same street.
Mm. Yeah. And Meat Hook, they have the same mindset of really responsible.
Yeah, I'm very inspired by what they do. Mm-hmm. They get the whole animal from local organic farm, and they use all parts of the meat and trying to educate customers about different types of cuts. And then we also get the bones from them. So it's really, really nice work relationship, right. And I admire what they do a lot.
It's a collaboration, kind of, right? Okay. So listeners, if you'd like to buy freshest local fish, enjoy uses fresh fish classes, and dine at this new omakase bar, please go to kickstarter.com and search for Osakana. It's Osakana. That's Osakana, Osakana. And outside this new project, you've done interesting pop-up dinners in Tokyo.
Yeah.
So can you talk about
that? Yeah, so as part of the challenge, and then we've been doing a pop-up ramen shop in Tokyo.
Mm.
So we believe strongly that the kind of ramen that we make at our restaurant is very unique and very good. So I always want to provide and introduce what we do to the people in Tokyo.
Mm.
Yeah, so we did a pop-up twice last year. Both of them are well received. And then we worked with Tsukiji Fish Market that time. So it was very, very nice to see amazing quality fish.
Mm.
We broke everything down and then we just recreated entire menu in one day.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a really, really nice challenge.
Right. Then they found you to be a partner at their restaurant, or how did it work?
So interesting is like this restaurant in Tokyo, the owner, Yuki Aoyama-san, she came and ate at my restaurant, but I didn't know who she was.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife recognized her, and then we just started talking, and then she invited us to do a pop-up at her restaurant. Mm-hmm. And then a month later, there was a Japanese guy eating at my restaurant breakfast, and we were talking about fish, and turned out that he was one of the vendors at the Tsukiji Fish Market. Mm. And he was like, anytime you're going to need fish in Tokyo, contact me. So I connected those two things together.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was amazing, yeah.
Mm. So it sounds like fish ramen is now new to Japan, but then
I
they
so,
really
yeah.
find it is very interesting mm-hmm. and valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, so you're doing both, educating this market and the Japanese market as well. So.
Yeah, yes. More that I want to share what I know. More that yeah, just a way to you know enjoy your life. It's more like a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like trying to share with people mm-hmm. who are you know seeing the same value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you're gonna keep doing it?
Yeah, I'm going to just keep moving forward and then just to try to be the one to provide the solutions to everybody's daily obstacles. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So, all right. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me again. Yeah.
And good luck with opening Osaka.
Yes, please help me with the Kickstarter campaign. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. I think it's really necessary. And I think somebody... Should I'm sure it's like a lot of New Yorkers want to have a good fishmonger.
Yeah, right? I think it's Kickstarter especially is a great way to like introduce customers
mm-hmm.
to be part of this project. So I'm very excited and enjoy running this Kickstarter campaign,
mm-hmm.
explain this campaign to the customers. Customer already know, customer love it. So I'm very excited, yeah.
Okay, great. So listeners, if you're interested in Yuji's other work, and this project, please visit okonomibk.com. That is okonomibk.com. It's okonomibk.com. And you can find a link to your Kickstarter campaign,
yep.
too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, please contact us at heritageradionetwork.org. And by the way, we just launched a beautiful new website, so please visit our page. And Japan Eats is live at 3 p.m. on Mondays and always available at heritageradionetwork.org, iTunes, and Stitcher Podcasts. Today's show was made possible by New York Mutual Trading Company's NYC Kitchen, and our engineer is David Tatasiore. And thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.